Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 1 of For the Record program number 554, titled Conversation with Daniel Hofsicker, The Wonderful World of Makram Charms. This has been recorded on May 21st of the year 2006, and once again it is my pleasure and privilege to present Daniel Hofsicker, the author of, among other titles, Welcome to Terrorland, Muhammad Atta and the 911 Cover-Up, and his previous volume, Barry and the Boys. Daniel, welcome back once again to our airwaves.
Pleasure to be with you, Dave.
So there are some, there are some more unusual things going on down there in South Florida besides people getting eaten by gators. And you're going to be telling us about those, Daniel. First of all, before we get to that, paperback editions of both the aforementioned Welcome to Terrorland and Barry and the Boys are, they're either just about ready to be born or already have, Daniel. What's the status?
That's correct. I actually held off sending Barry and the Boys to the printer for a couple weeks because of this 5.5 on cocaine story, which I suspected would have something of interest that would be, you know, new for Barry and the Boys, and indeed that's the case. So a month from now, 6 weeks from now, the books will be in bookstores.
Okay. Now, the title of the broadcast, The Wonderful World of Makram Charms, that's not a household name, Daniel, but before we get into that wonderful world, we should fill people in on some of the stuff that's been going on in South Florida for the benefit of newer listeners, listeners that haven't read your books, listeners that haven't heard our previous interviews, listeners that perish the thought, Daniel, may not have even visited your website. Let's try to at least give them a running jump on what it is that we're talking about and why the world of Makram Charms is so wonderful. You began investigating what was going on in South Florida with Muhammad Atta and some of the 911 hijackers, and what you found out was not only that it was something rotten in Denmark, but that the official version was completely wrong, at least as far as Muhammad Atta was concerned, and that actually he was part of a much larger milieu of involving organized crime, intelligence-related activity, and so forth. And that is what you wrote about in your book. Now, how does Makram Charms fit into that world? You know, who is Makram Charms? What has he got to do with Muhammad Atta, first of all?
Okay. To this day, in the small town of Venice, Florida, in the middle of downtown sits an abandoned convenience store that used to be owned by a Lebanese man named Makram Charms. Makram Charms, and we learned that convenience store was frequented by Muhammad Atta and Marwan al-Shehhi and several dozen other of the Arab terrorists that made Venice their home. And then we learned from a Venezuelan cab driver that it wasn't by accident that they had frequented that convenience store, that they were friends with the man that owned the convenience store, whose name was Makram Charms, who also rented an apartment across the street where his brother-in-law and sister lived, and from which the terrorists took cabs to Orlando Executive Airport and Orlando Airport and back, picking up rich Saudis, doing this and that. So Makram Charms was a subject of interest. Then I should mention, and this is bizarre, I was in Washington, D.C. on the last day of the 9/11 Commission hearings, and the FBI was rolling out their canned, ridiculous story, and to just tell you how ridiculous it is, the FBI agent testifying said that the terrorists had received no financial assistance from anyone in the U.S., and that the largest amount of money they had received from overseas was a $70,000 money order that went to Marwan al-Shehhi. And on the screen, beside the commissioners, they put up a copy of the receipt from the money order, and I looked at it, and I went, damn, I recognize that address, 201 Nokomis. That's Makram Charms' convenience store. How did he cash a $70,000 money order? So, you know, I finished Welcome to Terrorland, and Macam Chance was just one of the many threads left out there. Then I learned a little more about Macam Chance, and it got even more mysterious. I had figured, from what I'd learned, Macam Chance, probably the most important thing is Macam Chance disappeared after September 11th, and that's why his convenience store sits abandoned in downtown Venice to this day.
Recall, too, that at one point the cab driver testified to having taken Mohammed Atta and apparently working, he took a Saudi prince, or an individual he took to be a Saudi prince, who had previously been an associate of Mohammed Atta's, and took him to the convenience store, and that prince and a man whom he identified as Zaharias Moussaoui, the so-called 20th hijacker, I think the guy's guilty as bleep, but there's a whole lot more going on here than just him, but that they were carrying a very heavy trunk.
Well,
and
see, just mentioning that perfectly illustrates how we've been lied to about September 11th.
But this is a convenience store in Venice, Florida. The convenience store owner is Macam Chance, about whom we'll have a whole lot more to say. But here he is hanging out with the hijackers, some at least of the 911 hijackers, cashing $70,000 money orders. I challenge anyone around here to go cash a $70,000 money order at a convenience store. And he's hanging out with Saudi princes and apparently Zaharias Moussaoui, at least according to reports. And they're bringing out very heavy trunks, which previously we'd mentioned as speculatively holding large amounts of gold. This is not your average convenience store owner. And as you've been researching more about him, it has sort of brought us back to the permanent scandal and names we've heard about before. Tell us more about why this world is so wonderful.
Well, just in case any of your listeners think that this is all conspiracy theorizing, let's just spend 2 seconds on Zaharias Moussaoui. The jurors in Moussaoui's trial were never told that Zaharias Moussaoui was in Venice, Florida. They were never told that he was in Venice, Florida with Mohammed Atta. And yet, that is indisputably now the case. We have confirmation for it. We have, first of all, 3 years ago, I discovered that the other magic Dutch boy, the second Dutch national who trained terrorists at the Venice airport, had spent 2 days being grilled by the FBI in preparation for Moussaoui's trial. That was our first inclination that Moussaoui had been here. Then, of course, we hear from the Venice cab driver who talks about Moussaoui helping him carry down to the cab a chest so heavy he was amazed at how heavy it was, which we then found out was more than likely filled with gold. Then Moussaoui's presence was confirmed by, of all people, Rudy Deckers, who said he used to see Zaharias Moussaoui in Venice. And yet the jurors were never told that Zaharias Moussaoui was with Mohammed Atta.
Hey, one second, Daniel. Rudy Deckers, the Dutch/German owner of Huffman Aviation, the flight school through which Mohammed Atta and others of the hijackers came. The real owner was Wally Hilliard, and it was certainly involved in a big way with intelligence activity, drug smuggling in particular. There was a whole lot more going on there than just Muslim fundamentalism. That's who Rudy Deckers is, for the newer listeners. Go ahead.
Right, and he would have only confirmed Moussaoui's presence because the cat was already out of the bag, and there was no reason for him not to. So that's just an aside. Back to Macam Chance. So Macam Chance disappears after 9/11, and we figure, well, he was an Arab operative that you know was part of their support network. But then we discovered that Macam Chance had, 3 years earlier, 97 and 98, being a partner in a gambling boat that sat in Venice for 2 years, taking in money without sanction from the city, county, or state. Now, it's important for everyone to realize and recognize that to this day in Florida, there are 26 unregulated casinos. They're called gambling boats, They're completely unregulated. Nobody knows how much money they take in. Nobody knows where the money goes. If you believe that the dice have been loaded at one of these casinos, there's no one to go to because no one regulates them. Is that not bizarre? How much money do these 26 casinos kick off that go to politicians? We may never know. So this Lebanese guy was a partner in Venice in a gambling boat called Vegas in Venice.
Daniel, let me just very quickly punctuate what we've come to learn about the wonderful world of Makram Chams so far. A convenience store owner hanging out with 911 hijackers, cashing $70,000 money orders for them, hanging out with and apparently possibly moving gold for and with Saudi princes and Zaharias Moussaoui, 20th hijacker, and also a part owner in a Florida-based casino boat. Again, not your average convenience store owner, and there's more to come. Go ahead.
Yeah, now that's where I first became aware of the name Jack Abramoff, because I was interested in gambling boats because of Makram Chams. And one of the sources I had here in Florida, who was a business owner, a bitter business owner, who had been in business with Wally Hilliard, told me quite a bit about the murder of Gus Boulos, for which Jack Abramoff has not yet been charged. But already our tale is growing complex and ever more bizarre. So that's where it rested, okay? Makram Chams was a partner in a gambling boat here in Venice, Florida. There was only one other local partner. His name was Max Burge. Max Burge also had leased to Rudy Decker's Huffman Aviation the planes used to train the terrorists. That's about what we knew about Max Burge, except we met him a couple times. And
Daniel, very quickly, review for the audience. Max Burge, B-U-R-G-E, his relationship to Atta and his relationship to Moussaoui, or to Makram Chams.
Max Burge leased to Rudy Decker's Huffman Aviation the planes used to train the terrorists.
Okay. And his connections to Makram Chams.
Max Burge was the only other local partner, along with Makram Chams, in the gambling road to Venice. Vegas in Venice. Okay? So that's where it sat. And then someone sent me 60 days ago a addendum to an SEC filing in 2005 of a defense contractor called the Titan Corporation, which I soon learned was notorious and involved in major recent scandals. And this addendum stated that Makram Majid Chams was suing the company because in SEC filings, a company has to list all of the lawsuits they're involved in, that Makram Majid Chams was suing Titan Corporation in Saudi Arabia for $26 million. And I thought, is this the same Makram Chams who was here in Venice? And I did research and discovered that indeed it was, because there's a wedding announcement of here in Venice of Makram Majid Chams to a woman with four names who you know, I'm not going to attempt to pronounce at this point. So it's the same guy. So we have a Lebanese man who was helpful facilitating the terrorists while they were in Venice, obviously working at some point after that for a defense contractor called the Titan Corp, which is involved in major scandals. Their contractors were torturing prisoners in Abu Ghraib. They were convicted and paid a record $26 million fine last year for fixing a presidential election in, of all places, the African country of Benin.
Aren't you glad that doesn't happen anywhere in the United States? Certainly not in Florida, right?
And they, well, what we discovered, and I'm sure your listeners know this by now, that there are certain loci, certain nexuses where this stuff goes on. And, of course, Titan Corporation is in San Diego, where they were the largest campaign contributor to convicted Republican Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham.
Daniel, so how did Makram Chams describe his relationship to Titan Corporation in the documentation in your possession? Specifically, why is he suing them? What is the relationship that's the basis of this legal approach?
he was a contractor. He was a contractor for the Titan Corporation because in the SEC filing, they say that Macron Chams is suing them in Saudi Arabia for $26 million for breach of contract and also for defamation, because the Titan Corporation published in Saudi Arabia that Macron Chams was no longer a contractor for them. So that they defined his relationship as a contractor. Of course, everybody that works for Titan Corporation, the translators, they're all contractors.
So let me, very quickly, Daniel, let me once again update our resume of Macron Chams. Lebanese-born convenience store owner, associate of 9/11 hijackers in that convenience store where he cashes a $70,000 check for a money order for them. Also a guy who's carrying out chests, apparently of gold, with Saudi princes and 20th hijacker Zaharias Moussaoui. He also is a part owner in a casino boat with Max Burge, who also leased the hangars at Huffman Aviation, which housed the planes that were used to train the 9/11 hijackers. He also is working as a consultant to Titan Corporation, major defense contractor, private security outfit linked to Abu Ghraib, linked to overthrowing elections, and he turns out to have been a contractor, or as you say in your article, consultant to Titan Corporation, which also is has been the major campaign backer of disgraced and soon to be convicted, or I guess convicted and soon to be jailed, Congressman Randy Cunningham. That is one hell of a convenience store owner.
Yeah. Now here's a couple of other pieces of information. Now, Titan Corporation, the speculation goes, not by me, is part of a private intelligence network that, you know, some people call the rogue CIA. I have no idea what they call themselves, if anything, but that's speculation, because they turn up dirty, and they have turned up dirty in a number of situations. Now we have discovered that, we found Macron Chams' sister after 9/11, and she told us that Mac, he calls himself Mac, was in San Diego working for the FBI, which sounded like fabulous speculation to us at that point, because we had learned nothing by then about Abu Satur Sheikh, the FBI confidential informant in San Diego who housed two of the terrorists. So if she had said he went to work for the FBI anywhere but San Diego, Wichita, okay, San Francisco, all the places to go to work in San Diego, I mean, that's utterly bizarre. But you know, it just didn't fit, so I didn't even put it in the book. I mean, it was another piece of information hanging out there. Well, now, but we heard, see, he was not in town a lot before 9/11. He was flying in and out overseas a lot. In fact, he called me. He said from overseas after I published my first article about his convenience store. And I promised to get in touch with me when he got into town, but I never did. Now we've discovered that he was from someone who worked with his sister, May Chams, that Macron Chams was flying around the world working for the Titan Corporation before 9/11, which puts a much more sinister spin on the whole story. Now, the people who are out there and who shall remain nameless, who have been nattering on with absolutely no proof that the U.S. government was behind the 9/11 attack, or was at the very least aware of the 9/11 attack before it happened, you have to ask yourself at this point, did the FBI have another confidential informant in Venice, Florida, who also knew the terrorists and didn't report what he knew about them? I mean, how many times does the FBI have to be shown to be incompetent before it crosses the line from incompetence to something much worse?
By the way, Daniel, parenthetically, someone will leave the individual's name out of this, but someone with whom you work and whom we both personally respect, but who likes to remain anonymous, has a very high regard for a book called Prelude to Terror by Joe Trento, in which he talks about, among other things, what was called the Safari Club, which was an off the shelf, so to speak, but enormous international intelligence operation, financed largely by the Saudis, but involving not only Saudi intelligence, but large elements, note my choice of words, of our intelligence system, as well as other countries. And it basically functioned as sort of a supranational mercenary group. And it would be, in certain respects, an actually, quote, CIA, unquote, it would be a lot of other things, too. And that's along the lines of the global network, a chunk of which you've been chewing on down there in Florida.
Right, right. It would also explain Max Burge's mysterious comment to me. He didn't impress me as a totally unsympathetic character. Like any human being, he was appalled at the death he saw on September 11th. And he told me he was making inquiries about Rudy Deckers. And when he came back, he told me that the person he had inquired of had told him, you don't want to be asking questions about Rudy Deckers. Rudy Deckers is bigger than national. He's transnational. That was what Max Burge told me about Rudy Deckers 4 years ago.
Yeah, one of the things that you wrote about in Welcome to Terrorland, something that figured prominently in subsequent articles of yours, and that is one of the aircraft owned by Hilliard Deckers and Company at Huffman Aviation was nailed with 43 pounds of heroin on board, and that is literally a tale in and of itself. Now, we were talking about Titan Corporation. You've recently written about a 5.5-ton cocaine bust in Mexico, and you've written about that aircraft. And tell us a little bit about that plane, that bust, and Titan Corporation.
Okay. The last registered owner of the plane busted with an incredible 5.5 tons of cocaine in Mexico in April was a company called Skyways, Skyways Aircraft in St. Petersburg, Florida. And as I researched Skyways was a penny stock fraud that existed in order to trick out DC-9s, they had two, to resemble Department of Homeland Security planes. They were painted in the colors of official government, U.S. government aircraft, like Air Force One, for example, and they had seals on the side that a casual observer was led to believe made them official government aircraft from the Department of Homeland Security. So, as I looked into Skyways, I discovered they had two DC-9s in which they were supposed to be demonstrating a product that they didn't have. It was they took $30 to $40 million of investors' money, gave them nothing for it, and then went bankrupt. So they never had a product, but they had two planes tricked out to look like Homeland Security planes. And so obviously there was a purpose to the whole thing. What were they using the planes for? So I began to look into Skyways Aircraft, and then being a former business reporter, that's not the impossible dream. In an early, in a press release, just before they went bankrupt, companies like this, scams, which are perpetrated by people with a certain amount of protection, follow a typical pattern. They will announce in flurries of press releases, major new deals selling stuff to respected companies and then go bankrupt. And investors and shareholders are left holding the bag going, what? Titan Corporation issued a press release just months before this company went bankrupt, announcing that they were purchasing as much as $500 million worth of Skyways non-existent product.
Well, that's convenient too, Daniel. The point being, obviously, it was a scam, and that this was not a legitimate operation. That the assets and transactions in question were a cover for something else. Go ahead.
Exactly. Follow me here, though.
Yep.
We have encountered situations where, in companies like this, where the company just before going bankrupt will announce that Carl Icahn, or someone like him, is about to make a major investment in a company. Well, it's one thing for an about-to-go-bankrupt company to announce anything they want. okay? Carl Icahn is about to put $100 million into the company. It's another thing if Carl Icahn says he's putting $100 million in the company. So we have this now $9 billion a year defense contractor plumping and propping up fraudulently this company about to go bankrupt that owned planes that looked like Department of Homeland Security planes, one of which got caught in Mexico with 5.5 tons of coke.
With all of which, obviously, it is very much, no pun intended, outside of the white lines here. You know, and it's interesting to see the, I don't know if we could call it parallel, but certainly similar and perhaps even connected pattern vis-a-vis Skyways, et cetera. Now, again, bear in mind that Titan is a major financial backer of Randy Cunningham, the convicted Republican San Diego congressman. And bear in mind also that a consultant to that corporation was, or a contractor for, was none other than Makram Chams, convenience store owner par extraordinaire. Danny, you were talking about Max Burge and Makram Chams owning a casino boat. Do you know if that boat at any time was visited by Aton Company, who apparently were making visits to boats like that in the run-up to 9/11?
Well, no, I don't actually. You know, that would be we're typing such as too neatly, I think. It was 97, 98. I have no idea. Obviously, these guys are all part of some shadowy global network.
Yep.
That beggars the imagination.
Well, indeed, and one that certainly it is paragovernmental in certain respects and also outright criminal in many others. Daniel, we're almost out of time here. Tell people about your website, and we're going to continue this discussion in Parnside, too. Your website, because obviously we toss around a bunch of names. I try to jump in here and set a context, because so many of these names are not only not household words, but unfamiliar even to regular, fairly regular listeners. So tell them where they can find out more.
Sure, MadCowProd, PROD.com, the Mad Cow Morning News. I type my name into a search engine, Daniel Hopshicker. But, you know, what this is like, just to close this out, we became aware of all of the people involved in the Watergate situation through daily exposure in stories in the Washington Post and other places. And that's how we learned, the ins and outs of Donald Cicretti and all of those people. If this story was being exposed every day in the mainstream media, folks would come to understand and it would appear as transparent as Watergate eventually did in some ways.
Well, you're doing a real good job, and there's a little more going on here than even Watergate, although they're actually, let's just say the permanent scandal is the permanent scandal. www.madcowprod.com, paperback editions of both Welcome to Terrorland and Barry and the Boys are a born, and are they not?
Yeah, they are, and anyone that wants to help us out by buying something or donating on the website, that's much appreciated, because what I'm doing down here is not being sponsored by anybody.
No, you're not getting underwritten by mysterious offshore defense contractors. And by the way, neither myself nor any of the stations that carry this broadcast gets money from that arrangement. Okay, Daniel, we're going to continue this on Side 2. We have been visiting with Daniel Hopshicker, and this concludes Side 1. For the record, program number 554, Conversation with Daniel Hopshicker, The Wonderful World of Makram Chams, being recorded on May 21st of 2006. For Daniel Hopshicker, this is Dave Emery saying thanks for listening.